It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Sweet Home Cannabama Radio on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night. And tonight is our 7-year anniversary, so I can't believe we've made it this far, especially after the last year. But here we are, 7 years in. We may not be the only FM radio show by just a couple anymore, but we are definitely the first, and we have definitely been here the longest. So thank you for those of you who've been listening all 7 years. We couldn't do this without you. We appreciate you, and we hope that you are recommending the show to friends and family so that they can learn more about plant medicine and what it can do for them, because what we want to do here is break the stigma, stop the fear-mongering, and teach people how to help themselves with plant medicine. So thank you so much, and happy anniversary to us. I want to get into some current events. Oh, sorry. We are live. We are live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. So if you're watching from social media, hit that share button and subscribe. Current events, I got a bunch of them. A lot going on recently in both the hemp and the cannabis spaces. So I'm just going to start. Got flustered. Been a long day. Anyway, current events. Former DHS Secretary Chad Wolf urges Congress to keep the 2026 hemp THC ban and warns reversing it would embolden foreign criminal actors and harm public health. I think they're claiming that they need to ban it so that the Chinese can't get in here with their dirty CBD or something, which makes no sense, because if the people of the United States don't have a hemp industry to look to, then that seems like that would open it up to the black market, which we have seen here in Alabama tenfold. The major marijuana busts all over the state, people really just taking that market back because they left a giant hole with HB 445. So anyway, the White House asked Congress to act to prevent hemp recriminalization. So we've got the former DHS secretary saying keep the ban, and Trump and the White House asking Congress to prevent that. It's part of a broader legislative request as the November 12, 2026 federal hemp ban approaches. The DEA rescheduling hearings have been underway for almost 2 weeks. I think they're supposed to wrap that up around the 15th, which is 2 days from now. Multi-day evidentiary hearing opened July 6th, and the ALJ recommendation expected in October of 2026. Final rule possible early 2027. So I'm not sure what we're going to learn on the 15th or after the 15th and when whatever they decide is going to go into effect. In a national poll, most cannabis consumers do not expect full rescheduling this year. Skepticism remains about moving all cannabis to Schedule 3 in 2026. Again, as we've talked about before, Trump's executive order made medical cannabis Schedule 3, but left recreational or adult use, however you want to call it, in Schedule 1, which is incredibly confusing. Hopefully we'll have more answers about that after these meetings wrap up soon. The NIST releases new federal guidance on cannabis scales and aims to help states set accurate measurement standards for cannabis sales. Not sure why they're focusing on scales, but okay. Scales are very important in the cannabis industry, however. The federal hemp ban countdown, new total THC definition, 0.4 milligrams of THC per container, cap and synthetic cannabinoid ban is expected to eliminate 95% of hemp products by November 12th. Again, a lot of people are going up there to D.C. and trying to fight this. We've got this amendment that would raise the limit to 1% and set packaging and testing standards and marketing standards to keep it away from children. And then we've got the extension of the ban to give us more time to create practical legislation that wouldn't just wipe out the industry in one fell swoop. A lot of people are confused. A lot of people aren't planting. A lot of people are getting out of the business because they can't afford to wait until November 12th to figure out their fate. And boy, can I relate to that. The Texas Hemp Business Council pushes back on prohibition rhetoric and calls for evidence-based regulation instead of bans on hemp-derived THC and a new threat to the Texas hemp market. A state senator that pledges renewed fight to ban hemp-derived THC in 2027. So Texas has not let up on the neck of THC made from hemp products. The USDA delays a DEA lab testing requirement on December 31st and gives hemp producers more time to comply. In the states, Wyoming opted out of federal rescheduling. The state attorney general blocked automatic Schedule 3 alignment, so they want to keep it Schedule 1 within the state of Wyoming. North Carolina advancing new hemp rewrite, tightening product definitions and age rules, and this literally comes right after they passed a bill that just included a 21 and over age gate and standards on product testing, packaging, and marketing. Again, all the practical things that keep the public safe. Now they're going to rewrite it and basically create something similar to what the feds have in place now. Virginia expands record ceiling for marijuana convictions, which is part of a broader access, and justice reforms. And Alabama is set to decide whether or not to follow the Fed's lead and reschedule medical cannabis to Schedule 3. So they are trying to decide in the state of Alabama whether they're going to go along with whatever the Feds do or keep it Schedule 1 in the state as is. It'll be interesting to see how all of this shakes out. I don't think anybody's going to make any permanent moves until they see what the Feds say. And I sure wish the legislators would have taken that stance with hemp, because they are going ahead and just decimating state by state, no matter what the feds have planned. So THC beverages are booming nationwide. Consumers are increasingly replacing alcohol with hemp-derived THC drinks, and supermarket availability is rising. We've talked about this many, many times. A lot of this stems from the new THC beverage market. It's very frustrating to me. You know, when I'm scrolling through LinkedIn, scrolling through Facebook, there's all these new groups, these new advocacy groups that are only for hemp beverages. And that's their only concern. And I think that's super selfish, because I get that that's the product you make. But if you know, they can't, they're not going to ban 90% of everything and then leave those drinks, because what goes in those drinks will not meet the requirements of the rest of it. They cannot make THC beverages without extraction and conversion, not legally. And so I don't know why everybody's not in the same boat together. It's exhausting, it's frustrating, it's short-sighted, and frankly, it's stupid. You know, what's good for one of us is good for all of us. And I say us, I act like I work in the industry anymore. But still, for the consumer's sake, fighting for hemp beverages, if that's what you do, you make beverages, great. But leaving the rest of it to languish is ridiculous to me, because there would be no THC drink market if we hadn't spent the last 7-8 years creating the demand for THC products that are legal and low potency. Again, when they banned all of the higher potency products that people like me who use instead of OxyContin or other heavy narcotic medications, and left only these 10 milligram products, those are the recreational products. They want you to have to buy a 4-pack or a 6-pack in order to get the buzz you want, because they can. You know, I was just talking to somebody that used to buy my pain bomb gummies. She would have to buy 2 to 4 gummies at the current rate that's legal now in order to even compete with half of a gummy that she used to buy for me. And that is just not, everything else is so expensive and so cost prohibitive. And this is just, it's like being ambushed from all sides. You know, what they left us with is great, but then it's so overpriced and so under, that the potency is so low that the people that need it the most are the ones who are being left out in the cold. And it's the soccer moms who want to get tooted on the weekend at the country club, or some guy on a boat who's, you know, sober but wants to have fun, and they can drink a 6-pack of Louie Louie's or, you know, laughing lemonades and have a good time. But the cancer patient that can't take 7 or 8 lemonades every time they need pain relief, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's disgusting. Besides the fact that they're really expensive, you know, it just, nobody's going to drink that, but 12-ounce drinks, nobody's going to do that. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Dr. Lakeisha back for our summer series, Back to Basics, Part 2, What It Does. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Tonight we're talking with Dr. Lakeisha once again. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lakeisha.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Jennifer. I'm so happy to be here. And happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Before we get started, I did want to give you an opportunity. I've seen a lot of your posts lately, and you are visiting the United Nations lately, and I'm super curious for you to tell our audience, what are you doing at the UN?
So, part of what I'm doing at the United Nations right now is representing the Rastafarian Church that's actually in Jamaica. So, when I was in Jamaica, I was a part of their team to handle the cannabis interests of the Rastafarian Church in Jamaica. And so we're here at the Sustainable Development Conference talking about a very high-level political discussion, talking about things like health, like energy, like water, the things that make housing, all of the crises that are affecting the world.
Yes, everything that seems to be falling apart even here in the United States.
Yeah, affecting the world right now. So we're having some very high-level political discussions on that. But even more important, during this particular meeting, I was made aware that the WHO is currently advancing the global harmonization of herbal medicine standards.
Really?
So yes, this is what I'm particularly excited about. They're actually adding more botanicals to the pharmacopoeia. You know, cannabis used to be in the pharmacopoeia before it was removed.
Yes,
so
it was.
So I'm hoping with these new, you know, advances in this current focus and me being able to have a seat at the table, that I will definitely help to bring cannabis back to the pharmacopoeia and bring the science behind, you know, phytocannabinoids, the endogenous cannabinoid system, and what supplementation really means and how it's necessary to the general public again. So I'm quite excited. It's quite humbling
to be
in these rooms. And I'll tell you what, badging into secret places in the UN never gets old.
Right? Do you feel like James Bond? Like, this is spy level clearance,
just
man.
Just a little bit. So yeah,
that's
it's
funny.
Actually really exciting. But I'm happy to be a part of the conversation, though. In all honesty,
yeah. You walk in with the theme to The Incredibles in your head,
literally. I'm telling you.
Well, that's very special. You definitely deserve a seat in that house, ma'am, because you are very qualified, and not only that. You know, having gotten to know you, your level of compassion for all people is amazing, and we need more people like you in those rooms.
Thank you. I'm happy to represent.
Good. Well, let's get to the topic for tonight. We're doing part two of What It Does, and, you know, in the last episode, we talked about what is CBD and what it does, and what is THC and what it does in the body, and we even got into the acidic cannabinoids, like CBDA and THCA and CBGA, and got to talk a little bit about CBG. So tonight I want to switch our focus from cannabinoids, because this entourage effect we talk about, you know, there's over 480 chemicals that we know of in this plant. And as a whole, they work together, and each component has some sort of value. You know, I don't know how people can negate the fact that there is an intelligent creator, because, man, you know, just outside of thinking about how wildly intricate the human body is, But this one plant, out of all the bajillions of plants out there, and they're all special in their own way, and to be able to break those components down, examine them, and see, no matter how deep you dig in this plant, there's value, there's value, there's value.
Absolutely.
And you know, even on their own, we're going to get into terpenes right now. You know, people don't think terpenes are essential oils, you know?
Right.
And there's this whole essential oil movement that's been going on for a long time, even among people who would tell you would never use cannabis. Well, you're using some of the same terpenes as cannabis, you know, and you're using it for healing. So, you know, let's get into terpenes. Terpenes are the chemicals in the plant, essentially, on a fourth grade level, that give the plants a smell. And they're there to attract certain pollinators and repel predators. But beyond that, they are medicine in and of themselves, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely and positively. So terpenes really interact with the serotonin, GABA, and TRP receptors to influence, you know, things like mood,
right.
Pain, inflammation, stress. And they also shape, you know, whether how your product actually feels to you.
Right.
Whether it's calming or uplifting or focused, you know, terpenes have a synergistic effect with the cannabinoids.
Yes.
To give you that, you know, those certain feelings. Like we talked about before, terpenes, cannabinoids, flavonoids, and lipids are the real active constituents that all play together
yes.
in a synergistic way to give you that desired outcome that you're looking for.
Yes. And it's amazing to me because that we know of that all and all the reading I've done and I want to, if I haven't said this in a while to my audience, if I'm wrong, correct me because there's so much information and we only know what we know until we know better. But everything that I've been taught says that there's roughly about 104 different terpenes found in the cannabis plant. And basically, the proportion of those particular terpenes are what differentiates a strain or a variety. You know, we like to use the word, I don't know where the word strain came from, but people know that word strain, something that's more uplifting and energizing versus something that's better for sedation and pain. And that comes down a lot of times in a large part to the terpenes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all cannabis, actually all botanicals actually have all of the terpenes.
Yes.
All terpenes are present in all botanicals. It's really just the levels, like the percent of which
right.
the terpenes are prominent at the time
yep.
that gives you the different effects or the different results or even the different, you know, smells.
Yes, absolutely. So how do terpenes like limonene, linalool, which I've talked about the difference in those two. Those are two great examples that I've always used. And myrcene,
yeah.
Influence mood. How do they influence mood?
So limonene really kind of boosts your mood and reduces stress. Linalool calms anxiety, so it helps with that, you know, sort of anxious effect.
Mm-hmm.
While myrcene promotes relaxation and sedation. And actually, myrcene has some anti-inflammatory properties to it as well. So each one of those can help affect your mood depending on what the desired outcome you like you're looking for. So if you're looking for maybe there's a phytocannabinoid, you know, particular combination that gives you a little anxiety, you would want to find, you know, a varietal that has more of the linalool that will help you calm
right.
that anxiety, you know, type thing. So
right.
you can actually help by understanding the different terpenes and the different cannabinoids and the way that they work together to find that very, you know, specific combination for you to achieve whatever desired outcome that you're looking for.
Right. And I've used the example just to sort of give people a visual or a common connection to these words. Limonene is found in citrus fruits. It's that
yes.
zest that wakes up
yes.
your brain and really activates your day. And linalool is found in lavender, which is calming. Just to smell it, you're smelling that
yes.
linalool, and it's calming in the brain. And just like I said, just the smell of lavender can relax you and calm you. And so that's a kind of a one extreme to another example. And there are 104 of those available in the plant. And like you said, it just comes down to the percentage. Just like in the cannabinoid category, if you have a ton of CBD and not very much THC, that's going to affect you differently than when it's the opposite. Or if it has a lot of CBG or CBN, you're going to get different effects from the proportion. They're all there all the time, but each different variety has a different percentage or proportion that sort of dominates how the outcome is going to play out.
Right, right. Absolutely. And you know, there's definitely research out there and available, you know, just with a quick internet search.
Yes.
About what cannabinoids are out there and what cannabinoids may be found and what they may be good for.
Mm-hmm.
And also which terpenes are available, may be found, and what they would be good for. And there's even, you know, charts that draw a line of symmetry that say, if you're looking to have this desired outcome, look for this set of terpenes, look for this set of, you know, of cannabinoids.
Right.
So I'm always a proponent for everybody getting out there. And don't just take what I say. Don't take what Jennifer says. Do your own research. Absolutely. Because one thing that I love to tell my patients all the time, that if any physician, any doctor, any advisor tells you that they know your body better than you,
mm-mm,
you probably want to run in the opposite direction. Because this is really definitely a teamwork effort. You have to be just as educated as your practitioners,
right,
so that you know how to help yourself and also advise on what things may be best for you and help them understand what you're looking for,
yeah,
and work together in teamwork to find that solution.
Well, and in states like Alabama, where this is very, very new as far as physicians who are certified to recommend cannabis, I think the state only required a few hours of an online course. And these doctors, as much as they do know and have learned, they know very, very little about the plant. And so I think if you go in there armed with questions based on research you've done yourself, you know what to ask. And if nothing else, if they can't give you the answer, they now know, they're now challenged to go and find the answer for the next person. And
absolutely,
I think that that will make better doctors and better patient-doctor experiences if you do your own research. We live in a world where nobody reads the inserts. When we come back from the break, we're going to have more on terpenes with Dr. Lakeisha. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama Radio right here out of Mobile, Alabama. We are on FM Talk 106.5 every Monday night at 7 o'clock, and tonight is our 7-year anniversary, so we are the longest-running FM radio talk show about cannabis and one of the very few in the world. We're talking tonight with Dr. Lakeisha. She is back for part two of our Back to Basics series, What It Does, and we've just been talking about terpenes. There's one terpene that sticks out a lot when I do reading, and that's beta-carophyllene. I guess that's how you say it. but carophyllene binds to CB2 receptors. How significant is that?
You know, I have to tell you, Jennifer, a little joke. the way I remember beta carophyllene,
mm-hmm,
is I always like come up with a moniker or something, and one of my friends said, you know, you better carry your file in. Beta carophyllene, like carry your file in. Beta carophyllene. Yes.
I'll probably never forget that now.
Yeah, now you'll never forget it. Now you know you have to carry your file in. But to answer that though, it is one of the only terpenes that can actually directly bind to one of the CB receptors.
Right.
So actually the CB2 receptor. So it gives really strong anti-inflammatory effects, you know, and enhances then also the anti-inflammatory effects of the cannabinoids. So when you find, and, you know, beta-caryophyllene is not just found in cannabis. Like I said, it's found in a number of botanicals.
Right.
And you find that anywhere where it's located, usually there is an indication for anti-inflammatory properties and actually helping to relieve symptoms that are related to chronic inflammation. So that's really one of those terpenes that, you know, you want to definitely look at and make sure it's included in a good, you know, amount in whatever chemobar you seem to be, you know, looking for your desired outcome.
Right. And you can go, and, you know, you mentioned earlier going and looking for certain cultivars or strains or, you know, whatever the proper term is. You know, it depends on if you're talking to a farmer or not. But you can definitely, especially for people like me who are chronic pain patients, you can go and look up what strains or what cultivars of cannabis are high in beta-caryophyllene, and it will spit out those names for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really like to, because I know, like, when we first started off in the cannabis movement, it was about strains and it was about strain names. And it could have been about that still. But unfortunately, you know, strains are just a name and people will call anything anything.
Right.
You really need to be looking at that genetic profile. So looking at the combination of cannabinoids, the combination of terpenes and in what percentages that they're there to find the chemovars that work the best for you. You know what I mean?
Right. So you're going to get a wacky name, you know, like Gorilla Glue number 4 and Granddaddy Purple and some that I'm not allowed to say because of the FCC, but Alaskan Thunder, you know what I mean? And those are cool names and all, but when you're a patient, the cool names don't matter.
Especially if you're looking, you know, because if you're going from, you know, retail location to retail location and they're only just going by names and are not really going off of their scientific classification, then, you know, you might have got Gorilla Glue that works for you over here, but then you go over here and you choose Gorilla Glue and all of a sudden it doesn't work. It's not that. It's just that the genetic profiles of the two products are not the same. And that's what you should be focusing on.
And that is the challenge, I think, with the plant, because anything in nature, every crop is going to be different. They can take the same seeds and grow three different crops, and they're all going to be different. They're all going to have different amounts of time and sun and water and whatever, and especially farm to farm. You know, if one dispensary on the north side of town gets their product from XYZ and the other side of town gets it from ABC, that seed's going to come out different. And that's the beauty and the confusion of the plant, because the plant is as individualized as the human body is.
And that's one of the reasons that, you know, in my studies, in my work, I find that, you know, cannabis and phytocannabinoid supplementation using, you know, cannabis or hemp-derived products as supplements doesn't really fall very neatly in the box of pharmacology.
Right.
Because pharmacology, you need to be able to replicate that exact same result, you know what I mean, over and over. And
I was just thinking that.
My argument is it's more of a nutritional supplement. It's more like, you know, I've
said superfood, if you will.
It's more like a fruit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because ingesting it is the best method of administration if you want to hit most of the receptor sites and really get the maximum efficacy from it. And when you're ingesting it, you're actually supplementing that endogenous cannabinoid system. We don't produce enough endogenous cannabinoids naturally to support that system. But by using the supplements, you know, and ingesting them, we're actually getting that nutrition, you know, if you will, to supplement your system, which is why I encourage people not to look at, you know, the use of phytocannabinoids as drugs, as especially not dangerous drugs.
Well, I think that's probably
more supplement.
I think that's where the government is going to falter or fail us, if there's a sticking point, is that you can take a petroleum-based pharmaceutical lab-made synthesized chemical and replicate that exactly over and over and over and over, millions and millions of times, and get the same thing every time. But that is the most unnatural thing to put in the human body compared to a superfood or a whole food nutritional product that not only has the pain relief that you need, it's got all these different properties and all of the different components, vitamins and minerals even, you know, fatty acids, antioxidants, like we talked about, terpenes, flavonoids, cannabinoids, lipids. It's got all these different things that your body needs, and you can get them all from one place. And that doesn't, but that's also probably why it's so effective across so many different types of dis-ease and disorder for so many people, because it just, it's like flooding your body with all the good nutrition that it needs. And your body can take that, use what it needs, like we talked about, and discard the rest.
And discard the rest. But, you know, Jennifer, I want to say, and I think, you know, you brought up me being at the United Nations. I have to say, I really believe that the tides are changing. Whether they're slow or not, they're changing. Because back in 2020, I actually had the opportunity to represent the church again and signed on as a non-government organization to the WHO vote that took cannabis off the dangerous drugs list. It was taken off the dangerous drugs list at the World Health Organization level back in 2020, saying that it has some medical benefits.
Wow.
Now, just last month, like I said, the WHO is advancing harmonization of herbal medicine specifically. So I think that these are indicators that the tides are starting to change, that our lawmakers and our global leaders are understanding the use of herbal, traditional, indigenous, whatever you want to call it, medicine that has been the standard for eons. It's really the conventional medical system that's kind of new. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have this, but now we're actually taking a look at it, getting into the science, and putting that credibility behind it so we know how to titrate dose and how to use it properly, and it can be actually taken seriously. But these are real things that are happening on the ground right now that I can attest to that I'm seeing.
Right, you're in the rooms.
I really think on a global level, I think on a global level, even though we might not be feeling it, you know, on the ground.
No, because I think we're so discouraged right now. Everybody's so discouraged right now. I know I am. It just seems like we cannot win for losing or catch a breath. But what, I mean, the WHO took it off the dangerous drugs list six years ago. Why are we still even having this conversation? That's crazy. Nobody told us that.
There's these drug treaties and, you know, all kinds of things. But yeah, there was an actual vote, you know, back in 2020. And I remember it was the talk of the town back then and me being able to sign on and work at these levels. But then seeing, you know, 6 years later, they had a huge meeting, you know, overseas where they got all the global leaders together to say, yes, we're really going to start looking at this and we're going to start developing an international herbal pharmacopoeia. That means they're recognizing all of these botanicals, such as cannabis, and their therapeutic benefit and putting it together so everybody can now have access and start to understand how they can use them in therapeutic and nutritional ways.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, here in the U.S., I mean, they can't even deny it anymore. First of all, the approval rating is off the charts among voters. And then we, again, we're the greatest nation in the world, right? Why are we sicker and fatter and dumber than everybody else? You know, it makes sense that other countries that have more of a tradition, culture, you know, in different cultures, they use herbs and they use food as medicine. It's much easier to get your head around that when we've been just taking pills for the last 70, 80 years and everything's take two and call me in the morning And, you know, just the thought, I'm sure they don't want to have to individually custom make everybody's care plan. But look around. We're still dying at an alarming rate, and the life expectancy is going backwards. We have to do something different.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And unfortunately, you know, when we moved from individual and personalized care into more of a system that's based on managing symptoms, you know, as opposed to really being curative at the end of the day, our system, our medical system is really based on managing symptoms. And that's really difficult when you're looking for a resolution. You know, you're not just looking for a bridge. You're looking for a resolution.
And the irony is that the more they focus on symptom relief, the more new symptoms they create.
Right.
And we've got to get off this hamster wheel. You know, who cares if health insurance, and I see so much crazy stuff about how difficult it is to get approval from health insurance, even though we're paying way more than ever before with less benefits, and people are still getting denied life-saving care. Like, what are we doing?
Right. And, you know, honestly and truly, though, last year, the WHO published the Global Traditional Medicine Strategy for 2025 to 2034. Like, that's literally the strategy.
Oh, wow.
So I really believe we're right now in that cusp, right? We're in that sweet spot.
Right.
Where we can make our voices heard. Make your voices heard to your lawmakers. Make your voices heard, you know, in your communities, to your physicians, to your church leaders, to everyone.
We've got to go to break. I'm so sorry to cut you off. We got to go to break. We're going to pick right back up here. When we come back, stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Dr. Lakeisha about what this plant does, and we've been talking about terpenes. Dr. Lakeisha, let's switch gears before we run out of all our time tonight and talk about flavonoids. Flavonoids are basically, like I said, terpenes are what give plants their smell. Flavonoids, simply put, give plants their color. And this is why, you know, some of the plants are bright green and some of them are dark and some of them are purple and some of them have little orange hairs and some of them have little white hairs, and all those things have a purpose, correct?
They all have a purpose. And I think one of the major purposes of flavonoids as well, you know, that I have to point out is the anti-inflammatory and the immune modulating, you know, properties of the flavonoids. So we've had this conversation before that really, you know, chronic stress leads to chronic inflammation, overproduction of cortisol, you know what I mean? That stress hormone and things like that. And chronic inflammation is like the precursor, you know, to a lot of dis-ease and ailments. Autoimmune system issues are also a good indication and precursor of, you know, many of the common dis-ease and ailments of the human condition. And if we're talking about the terpenes, the flavonoids, and the cannabinoids that both have anti-inflammatory and immune modulating, you know, properties, we can start to understand why using, you know, the cannabis or hemp plant as a supplement really gives you that overall sense of balance and well-being.
Right. And the more you know about these things, the more insulting I think it is that some people who are anti-cannabis, for whatever reason they are anti-cannabis, and there are many reasons, mostly money and control, but it infuriates me more that they dismiss the plant and just, oh, everybody just wants to get high. And that is not at all my experience at all.
No.
After almost 10 years in this industry in one form or another, that is not at all my experience. And with flavonoids, this is something interesting. Canaflavin A and B are said to be 30 times stronger anti-inflammatories than aspirin.
I guess.
Explain that one.
Well, you know, that's actually being said, and it's because of the anti-inflammatory properties, really, because inflammation, that chronic inflammation, is a lot of time what the actual underlying, you know, cause is for that pain that you're experiencing.
Right.
It expresses itself in a number of different ways, you know,
right,
in the body. And when you're looking at a chemical compound that's found in a botanical that can help you modulate those things and actually feel better, you know, that's really the miracle, you know, if you say, of actually this plant. And even more than that, you know, with the flavonoids, one thing that I love is the reduction of oxidative stress. We've
yes.
had that conversation before, how oxidative stress really, you know, plays a severe role in cognitive decline and, you know, different things of that nature and
mm-hmm.
other neurological disorders.
Yes.
So actually the flavonoids are there to help to neutralize free radicals, support cardiovascular health, and reduce cellular damage. So
yes.
that's some of the things that we really need. When we talk about a lot of the common disorders that are plaguing our society and making, you know, quality of life much lower
yeah.
than we would like it to be,
right.
these are things that can actually be addressed by looking at, we've already talked about what cannabinoids do what terpenes do what,
right.
and then even what flavonoids do what, and how to use those in combination
right.
to be able to get the desired outcome, the pain relief, the help with sleep, the whatever it is that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's incredible because, you know, you can compare it to things that are high in antioxidants, you know, berries and green tea and, you know, all the dark fruits and leafy vegetables and things like that. But this is like a power pack, you know,
absolutely.
It's the synergy. It's the synergy.
It is the synergy.
It's
yep.
all these different things that in some way or another are anti-inflammatory, you know, and they boost your immune system. They're neuroprotective and mm-hmm. helps flush the body of toxins. I mean, that's a powerful combination of things. And it can be perfectly tailored to each individual patient because everybody's DNA is different. Their diet is different. Their genes are different. Their environment, every single thing that contributes to our health is different, you know? And so,
and even as we talked about before, you know, the way your symptoms present and the way my symptoms present can be two completely different things, but the underlying cause could be exactly the same.
Yep.
But they just present different, you know, because we're individuals.
Right.
And then again, you know, going back to that conversation of more of a nutritional supplementation approach, you're giving your body a full profile.
Right.
Give it the full exact profile of everything that's in the plant, you know, tend to shy away from those isolates, you know, those things that are just one single molecule that makes up this product, and give the full spectrum profile.
Mm-hmm.
And then your body is able to choose what it needs at that time and discard the rest. And our needs are different.
Yep.
You know, the time of month, the time of day, the seasons, all of those things.
What you had for lunch.
What we need. Absolutely. Even that. Absolutely. It can
yeah.
be that simple. It can be that simple.
It really
right?
can.
So we're giving our body all of these. And I'm glad that you're bringing these compounds to the forefront. We've already talked about cannabinoids. We've already had to talk about, you know, terpenes. Now we're on to the flavonoids. I'm glad that you're bringing these conversations to the forefront.
Yeah.
So
people can
start to do their own research.
We have done one other full show on flavonoids before because a couple years ago I was like, nobody's talking about this. And
yeah.
if you haven't heard what CBD and THC do in general, then you're under a rock
right.
somewhere, you know, and even terpenes
yeah.
in the industry.
Right.
We talk about terpenes. Nobody ever talks about flavonoids. And I think
right.
that's wild.
Right, right. They just, because, you know, they don't know. And because it's understudied and under researched, I'm really thankful for places like New York. You know, they've passed this cannabis research license. They have a whole entire,
wow.
you know, licensing program for research, which
nice.
Makes it easier for people like me
mm-hmm.
to be able to actually conduct this research, answer these questions, and be able to get this information out to the public. Because, you know, up until now, all of the research that's been done on cannabis has been done to prove, you know, that it does bad things to you.
Right. And well, and like I say, everybody's focused.
It's only positive.
Everybody's focused on that THC percentage. And I even did a show how everybody's buying weed wrong. Because they're just looking at that one number, and that number could mean nothing if everything else about that strain is wrong for you.
Absolutely.
You know, and stop it. We're fighting over this one thing out of almost 500 things, and we're right. talking far too little about the rest of the plant that has so much value. So what does true whole plant medicine mean to you?
Say one more time. I missed
I said, what does true whole plant medicine mean to you?
What true whole plant medicine means to me is giving your body, like I said in a conversation we had before, our body is designed as a self-healing system. You know, the creator made it that way. If you give your body what it needs, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, you know, proteins, those are the building blocks of life.
Yes.
If you give your body what it needs to sustain life, it can and will repair itself. And we just had this conversation that actually, you know, cannabis and hemp, superfoods, actually a superfood when you think about it nutritionally. So every constituent that is required to sustain life is found in the hemp seed. It really is.
Right.
And you grow
it's
it
all
out,
there.
It's found in the hemp plant. You could literally live, you'd be skinny as all get out, but you know, you could live on.
You could live eating it. No, I've said that many times. You could live on water and eating raw cannabis. You could. I think
really
that,
could.
You know, in closing, because it is, we're almost out of time, but I just want to turn it around to this, that this federal hemp ban cannot stand. Because in order to get the whole plant, in order to get all the terpenes and the flavonoids and the lipids and everything else, you have to have full spectrum. And full spectrum will be eliminated. And I think that that is a real crime, you know? You don't have to have so much THC that it makes you high. But without at least a trace of THC, you're not going to get a full spectrum wide range of therapeutic value from the plant. Thank you so much, Dr. Lakeisha. Again, it's time to go tonight. Thank you so much. Guys, go and check out the Keona Foundation and Dr. Lakeisha on social media. Look her up, learn from her. And next week, we're going to get into it with Dr. Preston Brooks about autism and CBD. God bless you, and God bless American Hemp.